Hey, it's Sean.
And it's Bree.
Welcome to Season 3, Episode 9.
What?
In this episode, we are going to be talking about Fort Garry Hotel in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and Hatley Castle in Colwood, BC. And in our paramedia segment, we are going to be talking about the film The Shining.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because it was a pretty decent movie, and there was a recent release of the second kind of continuation of that movie, so to speak. It was called Dr. Sleep.
Oh, right. Yes, yeah. I want to see that.
So, yeah, so definitely we're going to talk about that in a future episode, but this one we're going to talk about The Shining. So we're going to go back to the original for this one with Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall. And we'll tell you more a little bit later.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how is your summer going, Brie? Are you enjoying this nice warm weather that we're having, kind of, sort of, maybe?
Oh my God, Sean, why are you rushing it? Summer has not yet arrived.
Right. We are.
It is still spring.
Yes, that's true. And even before we started recording today, I was going to talk about fall because that is my time of year and I love it. And I know it was kind of odd that you said, don't rush it, because I figured that's what you were going to say when I started talking about fall. Never mind that I said it was summer. So
yeah.
So let me re-input that. How is your spring?
Actually, it's great. The sunshine coming out now more often is really good. Enjoying walking in the trails and stuff. So yeah, and soaking up the sunshine when I can. I went out and I was taking pictures and stuff with my new phone. I got the Samsung 22 Ultra. And I got a shot of the moon, which I sent to Sean the other day. And I was just amazed at how close I could zoom in and get a shot of it. It almost doesn't even look real.
Yeah, it was actually really crystal clear. And I was actually quite surprised because I have a digital SLR. And with that being said, usually you get some really quality photos, but this photo was like something that I would be expecting from something like that.
Mm-hmm. I was shocked too. I was impressed. Yeah,
it was amazing.
I mean, impressed.
I don't know whether that's the processor, the camera, a bit of both, but it was it was really cool.
Like, don't get me wrong, I love having, you know, your Nokia or Canon cameras with their extra lenses. Like, you know, those are great to have too. But I like not carrying bulky stuff around. You know what I mean? I'm one of those. And I really like the fact that every phone I get has a camera better and better each time. So when I saw what this could do, I was like, okay, I got to get this phone.
Yeah.
And so I'm impressed.
Well, I mean, I'm impressed because that was some really cool photos, and I'm an iPhone person myself, and I'm not saying we're getting duped with the camera, but let's be fair, we're getting duped with the camera. But yeah, you know, but it all depends, I guess, what you're going to use it for.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, you know, like what your main purpose of it will be. So like, I mean, you know, some people are cool with iPhones. Some people are cool. They want like an all-in-one device where they're not carrying around a camera, carrying around, you know, X, Y, and Z. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's perfect. A little bit bigger than my other phone, but you know, whatever. I really do enjoy this phone the most out of all the, and I've been a Samsung. I went from BlackBerry to Samsung. I've never had an iPhone. I've never used one. My son has, but I haven't.
Yeah. Again, it's what you're going to use it for, you know? And, you know, I was a BlackBerry too. Let's be fair. I miss my BlackBerry.
I do too. I totally loved it.
Yeah, I did too. And I think almost everybody that you talk to would say the same thing.
My dad said that not too long ago we were talking about it. He's like, I really like that phone. Because he is not a smartphone kind of guy. Like, he was fine with his flip phone, but my mom forced him to upgrade because you know, eventually he can't do what she's doing to connect, right? Because she texts.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So it took a while, but he got there.
Yeah. But one thing again, with speaking of being duped, you know, with BlackBerry, you kind of felt like you're being duped because you never really got any fun apps. It was all very That's business true. And all yeah, that yeah. kind of stuff. But like, I mean, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. again, it's all what you're going to
do. Well, that was originally, I believe, their target audience was the business, you know,
right.
people. Because right, it was so easy. Right. It was small. It was easy, quick to type on it, you know, so.
Yeah. But anyways, getting back to
moving
the
on.
Show, yes, talking about ghosts of past phones.
Yeah, exactly, right? God, what was your first phone? I think mine was a Nokia. God. It was like 1998.
Okay, so I'm going to go way back here, everyone. And I had a ClearNet phone. Which
if
I
you
believe,
don't know what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, they used to have like phones that you could buy, and there was like one phone. Just one. And, so you like buy the service. I think actually Telus bought them out, and yeah. So I don't know. I'm sure there might have been a phone before that, but I think that was my first one.
Too funny how times have changed.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. Well, let's get right into talking about Fort Garry Hotel in Winnipeg, Manitoba. It was built between 1911 and 1913. It was built by the Grand Trunk Pacific Railway, and it opened for the first time on December 11th of 1913. It was located one block from the railway's Union Station, and it was deemed by the city the tallest structure when complete. It was constructed in the Chateau style, which was a French style that was widely used in the U.S. at the turn of the 20th century. It is very similar to the plaza, which May attributed that included the classic base shaft, flat facades, four bay and end pavilions, and a large segment of windows with a cornice and a steeply sloped roof. The architects Ross and McFarlane modeled the original plans after the Chateau Laurier in Ottawa and originally called for a 10-story, but two floors were added during the construction. It was originally called the Shelkirk, but instead it was named after the upper Fort Garry, which was once at the junction of the Red and Assiniboine Rivers. It was built in that specific spot on Broadway, providing a luxury hotel for railway travelers. It was a commercial building on Broadway, and only the hotel would be built there. Due to the prominence of the hotel, there were many famous guests that stayed there, including Harry Belafonte, Sir Laurence Olivier, Liberace, Gordie Howe, Lester Pearson, just to name a few, and King George VI and Queen Elizabeth I stayed here during their trip to Canada in 1939. Originally owned by the Grand Trunk Pacific Railway, it was then owned by the Canadian National Railway after it was rebranded into CN. In 1979, the hotel was purchased by the John Draper Perrin family of Winnipeg, and they operated it as an independent hotel until 1987. Then for a few years, it was owned and controlled by a Quebec hoteler named Raymond Maliphant. It is currently run as an independent hotel. It was designated a National Historic Site of Canada in 1981. There is also a National Heritage Park connected to the hotel and the remains of the Upper Fort Garry, which was completed in 2017 and 2018. And that is some of the history of the Fort Garry Hotel in Winnipeg. And as per usual, I'm going to pass it over to Bree so she can talk about the paranormal activity at the hotel. Bree?
Thanks, Sean. I just wanted to mention that this is another location owned by the Grand Pacific Grand Trunk Pacific Railway, which has been a topic of many of our stories throughout our seasons, actually.
Yes, I'm pretty sure. Reoccurring theme.
Yes, absolutely. I'm pretty sure we talk about it almost every other episode.
Yeah, pretty almost. Much. We did a full episode on it when we had Julie and Ed and yourself and me. We were all on the show that time for the season finale, and we did a show on the Grand Trunk. So definitely check that out.
All right. So as for the ghosts of Upper Fort Garry, the hotel is famous for its haunted room, which is room 202. Apparently, many years ago, a woman committed suicide there after hearing the death of her husband. She was so overcome with grief that she hung herself in the closet. Staff have reported seeing blood dripping down the walls when they entered the room, which I'm sure would creep anybody out. I've seen that in a movie. I'm pretty sure it was Amityville Horror. In 2004, a former Ontario Liberal MP, Brenda Chamberlain, she claimed she was awoken by a sensation of someone getting into bed with her, and this happened twice. There was also a young boy on a family trip that organized to make a wish and wanted to stay in room 202. He was fascinated with the entire thing and wanted to take some pictures with his film. After getting them developed, all the photos turned out except for the ones in and around room 202. Although the boy was so happy as he believed the spirits were camera shy and didn't want to be seen. So for him, that kind of made him happy. Kind of like what we were saying earlier.
Yeah, right?
How the ghosts were preventing us, right?
Right. Shall we go into that? I don't know. Should we?
Maybe.
So we've been trying to record this episode for 2 months, and it's just like almost seems like one thing after another. Like, we encountered an issue with the audio, and then we had this, and then we had that, and then we couldn't find the email with the stuff in it, and we were just like, what the hell's going on here? Like, it just seems like something about this show is telling us not to do it, but
yeah.
Doing it. So if we disappear, then you know what to do. Put in an APB for Sean and Bree.
Yeah. Find those paranormal ghost hunters.
Yes. Yes. We're around somewhere.
All right. The woman that is associated with this room has also been said to haunt the hotel lounge. She's been seen by both staff and guests, and she is often seen crying in the corner. Staff have reported seeing the ghost of a young woman wearing a robe walking down the hallway. I'm going to assume it's probably the same lady. There's ghostly figures that have been seen in other rooms as well, usually at the foot of the bed. Sometimes there's a man that has been seen on at the end of the bed. Other times it's been a woman wearing a ball gown. In 1989, an employee was cleaning the kitchen overnight, and he went to the back stairway, and it was around 4 o'clock in the morning, and he heard a strange sound coming from the dining room, and it was locked. He went and grabbed the key, and when he got there, he saw that what looked like to be a figure of a man sitting at a table, and he went to go grab another coworker to show them, and when they returned, the man had vanished. Dun, dun, dun.
Wow, that's kind of creepy, eh? Huh. Interesting.
The mystery man.
Yeah.
That's kind of like one of my stories that I wrote. There was this man that was sitting in the table in the corner, but nobody could really see him because it was kind of dark. And then when they turned around again, he was not there anymore.
Ooh, creepy reepy.
But it wasn't a ghost. It was a real person, just, you know, hiding in the shadows. Alrighty, so that is all I have for the ghosts of Upper Fort Garry.
Well, that's excellent. That was some really good information and some really good paranormal history there. So, you know, if you're ever at Fort Garry and you stay there and you have an experience, reach out to us. Let us know. We want to hear your experiences and hopefully throughout at some point of the show, we will get our chances to go there too. So now we're going to move in and talk about Hatley Castle in Colwood, British Columbia. In 1906, BC Lieutenant Governor James Dunsmuir of Scottish descent bought the property. He and his wife asked Canadian architect Samuel McClure to build them a 40-room mansion in the Scottish baronial style. The Tudor Revival style, which was popular in the Edwardian period. They also created many gardens using American garden designers Franklin Brett and George D. Hall, both of them from Boston. They named the estate Hatley Park. The castle became a landmark and occupied by the Dunsmuir family until after the Great Depression in 1937. After the death of Laura Dunsmuir, the estate was sold to the Government of Canada in 1939. The government sold some of the land. During 5 days in June in 1939, Maynards and Sons conducted a public auction of the mansion's contents, totaling 927 lots. After the outbreak of World War II, there were plans made for King George VI and Queen Elizabeth I to move to Canada with their daughters, Princess Elizabeth and Margaret, in the event of the invasion of Britain. They eventually decided against leaving the UK during the war and stayed in London. The Canadian government adapted the mansion into a naval training facility from 1948, and it was known as the Royal Rhodes Military College, which is named for the Royal Rhodes body of water lying to the east of the facility. The college was closed in 1995, and the estate leased to the province of British Columbia. And that same year, the castle and its grounds were designated a National Historic Site. In September of 1995, the Royal Rhodes University was opened as a public and a degree-granting university. It leased the campus from the Department of National Defense for $1 per year. The university manages all and everything related to the site, including management, operations, heritage prevention, restoration, and also educating the public about the site's history and natural resources. The extensive grounds of the historic site has a formal garden, formal farmland, and trails throughout matured strands of first and second growth forest and trees. The Hatley Park and castle have been seen on dozens of films over the past 80 years. It has been featured on Smallville, the X-Men series, Bones, and it was the starting point of The Amazing Race Canada 6, just to name a few. Now, with that being said, we are going to move in, as always, to the ghost and the paranormal activity of the Hatley Castle. So I'm going to turn it over to Bree so she can tell us some of the haunted history. Bree?
All right. Sounds good. That's pretty cool about The Amazing Race. I haven't really watched it, but I've seen episodes here and there. I find it interesting. Pretty cool. I liked it better than Survivor because I was kind of sick of the whole eating gross stuff to win challenges. I was like, I can't watch that. Even Fear Factor, I had to stop watching that too. I was like, nah, it's not fun anymore. It's more interesting when they got to do crazy stunts or whatever, like things.
Something that challenges you, really.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Eating gross stuff doesn't really challenge you.
No, I'm not. I mean, it does to a certain degree, but if that's all your challenges are going to be, then.
Yeah, lame.
Yeah.
So the Dunsmuir family have a long history that is set in both the gardens and the castle. James died at 69 at his fishing lodge, and Laura with her daughter at the castle. And Laura died in 1937. Her daughter Eleanor died 6 months later. A maid complained of having these strange feelings of being watched when nobody was around. And it got to the point where she was like so overwhelmed by these feelings that she refused to go in any of the rooms by herself. There's been accounts of music playing in the study, which is where James would play somber music to honor his son that he had lost. Sometimes there's strange noises, such as footsteps and doors opening and closing, have been reported in the castle. When the estate was the military college, cadets would see the apparition of Laura Dunsmuir searching the faces in the dorms looking for her son.
Aww.
One visitor to the castle said a spirit followed her home and making these weird noises of a crying baby in the night, and it would bother her and annoy her while she was at work. When it was a naval training base, one of the cadets got in and settled while studying at the study hall late one night. It was on the second or the third floor. The cadet sometimes felt like there was like he was being wrapped in like masses of freezing cobwebs. That's how he described it. And it was an apparition of an old woman who often appeared at their beds, and sometimes their blankets were pulled off as they were trying to sleep. Many of them believed it was the spirit of Laura Dunsmuir. A cadet acting as a senior officer awoke early one morning because somebody was tugging at his leg. And he looked and saw a female ghost, and he tried to break free from her, but he couldn't. And when he managed to get away, she disappeared. Apparently, the cadets often saw a young woman walking the castle before vanishing through a door or a window. She was seen in one particular room. She was seen crying in one particular room and floating, and then go floating out the window to the sea. People saw this window opening and closing on its own over the years. Many believed it was just a distraught parlor maid named Annabelle, who has won the affections of Laura. She went on to get married, and Laura paid for everything. While she was left at the altar by the groom who was already married, she was distraught that she went back to the castle and jumped to her death from the upper window. So they believe that's why the window was opening, shutting, but there's, I guess, two reasons, really. One could be the previous thing mentioned. In 2012, a woman who took a tour there took a picture of what looked like a female apparition. The woman was seen standing on the stairs wearing an old-fashioned hat. It could be the spirit of Laura checking to see who is in her home, or it could be another female spirit that haunted the castle.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, I've heard that name before, Dunsmuir and what have you. I think we've talked about them in the past.
I think we have, too.
Yeah, it just seems very familiar to me. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, she's very
active. We did a bit of past life.
Maybe. Maybe we were them. I'm just kidding. You never know, right? And there's, like we said, there was a reason why it was, like, trying to prevent us from doing this show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Interesting.
Well, we still have to see if the recording took, because last time it didn't.
Right.
So I guess we're going to find out when you hit stop.
Yeah, pretty much. But anyways, let's take a look at our paramedia segment, which we are going to be talking about the 1980 film, The Shining.
That's right. Book came out in 1977. All right, so the Shining novel is a horror novel, came out in 1977, written by Stephen King. And at that time, it was his third published novel, and it was his first hardback bestseller, by the way. So it's about this guy named Jack Torrance. It takes place at the Stanley Hotel in 1974. And he struggles with alcoholism, and he's a writer. So he's offered to go stay in this hotel in the off season because it still needs to go through the regular daily process that it would as if it was a functioning, active with visitors in the hotel. So him and his family go out there, but he's warned before he goes out there about the fact that the previous, I guess you could call it a superintendent. I'm not really sure what the title was. I can't remember. But
like a caretaker almost?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Caretaker would work.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's the caretaker of the hotel. So he's going to stay there, and he's warned ahead of time that the previous caretaker did go crazy and murder his entire family, including his children. So Jack was warned prior to taking the job, and he thought that he would be fine and there would be no issues. Now, this is from November to, I'm pretty sure he said April. So from November to April, he's in this hotel. And then once it snows, there's no leaving the hotel. And I don't think he fully grasped that, like the character in the story. The amount of snow they were going to get, maybe. Maybe he figured they would be able to kind of get out and do more things. I'm not sure. Or maybe the fact that he was just so isolated is what made him go crazy. I read it in grade 12, and it was one of our assignments. So we watched the movie as well back then. And now we're going to discuss information about the movie. It stars Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall, as Sean mentioned earlier. It came out in 1980, and it's a psychological horror film produced by Stanley Kubrick. Amazing, amazing producer.
Definitely. And I'm sure you've seen some of his work at some point or another, or you've even seen The Shining, for that matter. Mm-hmm. You know, there's many, I don't know, like many moments in that movie where it kind of makes you think, because of the mental health aspect of it. And I think he was drawn there for a certain way or something. Mm. Something was bringing him there. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like in a sense of,
like maybe there's a connection, because at the end, at that one point with the picture on the wall, yes. It could be, even though it looked like him, it could be someone he's related to.
Yeah. It could be too. Right.
Right. Because and so him going there. Yes. Yeah. Because like, if you think of it this way, everybody says, well, some people say, you know, everything happens for a reason. There's a reason you talk to this person or that person, or there's a reason this person's in your life, or the reason someone's not in your life. So in this instance, for like ghost wise, especially when you think about our previous episodes with Andrea, when she discussed how they felt they were drawn to this house, her parents, right. It could totally be that for Jack Torrance, Jack Nicholson's character, right? He feels that this is a perfect opportunity to get away and write his novel. He'll have so much time in his hands, nobody to bother him. And it ended up being his demise. So looks are deceiving as well, I guess.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that kind of sums it up in the sense of like a morality slogan kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a deeper issue with regards to also that paranormal that the son and the father were experiencing, but the mother had no clue.
Mm. Oh, because of them having the shining. But the father hid it, and I think he suppressed it. And the boy was coming into it, and for him it was confusing. So when he met that gentleman, that character, what was his name?
Yes, I know exactly who you're talking about. He was, I think he was the caretaker normally.
During normal hours, right. Yes. Scatman Crothers, that's what his name was. Yes. He also experienced what his son was experiencing, right? So he was able to connect with Danny on a deeper level than the mother could fathom.
Right, because I think he worked at it. He honed the craft. Mm-hmm. Where with Jack Torrance, you can definitely see how he tried to hide it by drinking. Mm-hmm. That was his solution with regards to dealing with what he was dealing with, which was the shining, right? Yeah. So exactly. He drank. Where the other guy, I'm sorry, you said his name.
Scatman Crothers. I can't remember his name on the show, though. What was his name on the show?
You know what? Oh my God, I can't remember either. But it was like he took the time.
Oh, his name's Dick Halloran.
That's right. Dick Halloran.
On the movie, yeah.
Right. And you can tell that he like really worked at it and honed it and made it work for him. And yep. that's how he was able to have that almost telepathy.
Telepathy, yeah.
Yeah, like a very, that conversation with no words being really spoken in a sense of coming out of their mouth.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. It was very interesting. And some things that I've heard about the movie was that Shelley Duvall was treated very badly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like to the point, just because I believe they wanted to get a genuine reaction out of her with regards to feeling, you know, isolated and being alone and having a husband that treats her like that and having a kid that's having problems and trying to be that person, right? To kind of hold everything together, right? So
yeah, well, I hear that.
Yeah. So that was, I found that interesting. Whether it be true or not, I'm not sure. Only Shelley Duvall can tell us that. And then maybe she has at some point or another, but we don't know.
Well, you know, if you think about it, I guess they kind of want to, it's not unusual for them to try and get a real reaction, because remember when they did the Blair Witch Project, which I think we should discuss in one of our episodes.
Yes.
I remember they like didn't let them sleep. They were constantly scaring them to get real reactions out of them, right? And you legit thought they were scared because so many people were fooled and thought that that was like a real movie.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just wanted to add that. Sorry.
That's okay. I get it, and it kind of adds to it in a sense as well. So that's good. But all in all, I definitely would recommend this movie. Do we want to start giving our
ratings
as a rating?
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay. How many ghosts do you want to give it?
What are we going to do? Out of 5?
Yeah, I think 5's good.
Okay. Well,
for you?
For me, I'm going to say a 4. And because I've seen it back then when it was, you know, new and fresh and everything was cool when you saw new movies and back then, right? And even now, the quality of it is still pretty good. I enjoy artsy movies, and I think that's why I like Stanley Kubrick's style of directing or producing. Yeah. And I enjoy Stephen King's...
Sorry to cut you off, but he's very thorough, I find, with regards to completing a shot, you know, like having everything on your plate, you know what I mean? So you really get the visual.
He really captures it.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that's rare. And I think, yeah.
Well, he stands out. That makes him, I think, an original for his style. Right. And obviously same with Stephen King, right? Everybody's always like, his stories are so elaborate, like where does he come up with these ideas? It's crazy, some of the stuff that he comes up with. But I would definitely give it a 4. I really enjoyed the book. I know a lot of people say movies and books are never really the same. I can't really remember now, but I always compare movies to books like my entire life. Because I will always read the book and then I'll go see the movie. That's just me. And sometimes I'll watch the movie first and then go and read the book and see how I like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would definitely recommend this to anybody to read the book too, and watch the movie after, and then let us know what you think of the style of the story back then and how it was portrayed in the movie, rented or buy it, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Or sometimes you can actually catch it being played in a theater somewhere obscure or something like that. Definitely if you can catch it that way. I'm a firm believer. I love seeing movies in a theater, especially that I was too young to see. So, you know, it would be great, you know.
Yeah, we went to go see Scream, and we've seen it way back in the day when it first came out. It was great while sitting in a theater to watch it again. I'm a huge Scream fan. Favorite series, I think.
All right. Well, that's it. You know, take a look at The Shining, and that'll be like your homework for the month.
And get back to us.
Back to us and tell us what you think. So let's move into
your ghost rating.
Oh, by the way, my ghost rating is the same as yours. So that's why I didn't say anything about it. So yeah. Anyway, so moving on, we need to let them know how to get in touch with us, as we always do. So you guys have your pen and paper ready, or your phone ready to take a voice note or whatever. Contact us. Tell us how, Brie.
All right. So you can reach us at ParanormalFilesCanada@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at Canada Paranormal Files. You can find us on Facebook at Paranormal Files Canada. And we are also on Twitter, PFC Sean_Brie. We are also now officially on TikTok. So you'll have to pop by, check us out. We're just getting started. Give us a follow. Soon enough, you'll see some videos from me and Sean.
Tickety talk, and we don't stop.
That's right. That's right, buddy.
All right. Well, thanks, Brie, for that. And as always, thanks for joining us. We love having you along for the shows. Keep downloading. As I said, I believe it was the last episode or the episode before, we're coming up to a big milestone, which we're going to keep you informed about, and we'll tell you all about it when it happens. So, anyways, as always, take care of each other, take care of yourself, and don't forget...
Stay spooky.
Stay spooky.